Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Political advertising doesn't ever seem to stop. It will be everywhere over the next week, that's for sure, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. And many of the ads will be attack ads, ads that are for something don't really seem to work, while ads that are against something are still the way of the day, for sure. I wanted to talk about the state of political advertising and found Christopher Terry, who lives in Milwaukee and Minneapolis and is the associate professor and fellow of journalism, law, and policy at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. Professor Terry took the time out of his day yesterday to give us his insights. He's an authority on internet policy and political advertising, and his research has been cited by the FCC and in filings with the U.S. Supreme Court. Professor, I appreciate your time this morning. So as you look at the political landscape, we are 1 week out, and the messaging against has just been so prolific on both sides and clearly preferred over messaging in favor of. Is this just what we're used to now in political advertising and it's just never going to change?
Well, you have to remember there's two kinds of political advertising. There's the kind that comes from the campaigns themselves. That tends to be fairly more positive than the other kind, which is the advertising by outside groups. And part of the intent of the volume of advertising is not to convince people to vote one way or the other, but to not go to the polls in general. And that's been happening for a long time now. And here in Wisconsin, which is a perpetual battleground state, with off-year elections to boot, you know, we get a full dose of it every time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, you know, obviously we don't see a ton of attacks. You see some taste testing maybe here or there in consumer advertising, but is there a reason why we're not seeing any type of attack ads in traditional advertising?
Well, political speech and commercial speech are fundamentally different.
Yeah.
You can say things in political speech, you know, protected First Amendment speech, that you couldn't get away with saying about somebody's competing product in a commercial speech or an advertising situation. Product disparagement is a big deal and is the kind of thing that's taken very seriously. But remember that commercial speech, advertising, traditional commercial advertising, isn't protected by the First Amendment in the same way that traditional political speech, or in the current discussion, political advertising is.
Yeah. It's funny. I saw, maybe you've seen it the other day, a Burger King ad that said, "Work for a king, not for a clown. We're hiring." I thought that was pretty creative. A little bit of a competitive slap, but at the same time, got the message across.
Well, Burger King has historically had some pretty good ad people who've really been plugged into sort of the zeitgeist of what's going on. And they are pretty good at making jokes. As you are probably aware, it's hard to make a good joke often.
Mm-hmm.
Burger King does and historically has been better at that than other major companies.
Yeah, for sure. All right. In terms of the volume of political ads, it's going to be fast and furious in this final week for sure. What impact does that have on local businesses that are running ads adjacently on the same platform? Do you get a sense of that impact at all?
Sure, it's something I've studied for many years. The most important part is to understand that the two ads create a different situation. Ads that come from legally qualified federal candidates, they have to run. Stations like TMJ or any of the television stations in town, they have to run those ads. They don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't censor those ads in any way. The other kind of ads, though, the non-candidate political ads, usually called issue ads, those are not protected by the same rules, the rules that are 90 years old that govern candidate ads. And as such, stations are able to sell those ads for top dollar. The typical going rate for a candidate ad versus an issue ad is about a 10 times factor. Sometimes it's even 20 times, depending on where you are. That means that the stations themselves are making a lot of money on this, but the volume does push some of the regular commercial advertisers off the air. In Minnesota in 2022, the local news stations were running so many political ads the last week of the election that they were actually reducing the amount of news time that they were putting in a half-hour television newscast to accommodate additional ads. And it is hard for commercial advertisers to get in, one, because candidate ads have to run and they can bump commercial advertising off the air, and two, stations want all the issue money that they can because there's sort of a fixed date on when that issue money goes away.
Yeah. And do you get a sense that, hey, you're in Minneapolis and Milwaukee, kind of split your time, do you get a sense that the local businesses are just saying, all right, I'm going to take some time out of local media right now and let the campaign season do its thing, and then I'll get back to the promotion?
Well, I think that that's whether they've actively or inactively come to that conclusion. I think it's just a practical reality at this point that unless you're one of the top dollar advertisers on a station, whether that be TV or radio or to a lesser degree through a cable head end, that you just have to sit it out for the 45 and 60 day windows before the primaries and the generals at this point. It's just, there's that much advertising. Yeah. The problem in Wisconsin, of course, is that we have that same level of advertising in off-year elections. The state Supreme Court race last year, of course, was a wall-to-wall advertising bonanza, too.
Yeah.
So it used to be that you only had this problem every 45 to 60 days every 2 years, but the reality in Wisconsin, being the state that it is that it's all the time, right? We'll have spring elections for a series of races. So even after we survive the presidential race, we'll have another batch of pretty hardcore advertising again very, very soon.
Yeah, seemingly a never-ending cycle for sure. So as campaigns look at the effectiveness in this final week, how are campaigns tracking and monitoring the effectiveness? Is it just all about volume at this point, playing the percentages?
Well,
campaigns, do they look at the impressions and the clicks and the reach at this point, or is it just about blanket the market and go after it?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, all advertising is targeted in some way or another, but you're at the end of a campaign where you've got money to spend, so you're better off throwing it in and seeing what happens than holding on to the money afterwards. You know, again, Wisconsin's always going to be a close state. I mean, at least until the demographics of the state change in a fundamental way. And I look this morning, we're looking at just on the Milwaukee television stations, you're looking at $350,000 in more ads that'll run in the next week. And that's just the reality of the situation at this point.
Yeah. Is there are you seeing a winning ad platform in this campaign season that's different than years before?
No, the numbers have shifted a little bit. Advertising on the internet's obviously picking up just by a volume, but internet advertising is very inexpensive in relative terms to television and radio. TV for a long time has always been sort of the big beneficiary of this. In fact, 4 or 5 years ago, prior to COVID, there was an effort to buy up a bunch of television stations by many of the sort of media conglomerates to get in on the 2020, the expected 2020 political wave money.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the breakdown's about 72% of all of the ad spend went to broadcast TV, just because it's a very expensive place to advertise.
Yeah.
Not that there are any more ads on TV, it's just that the price of those ads is substantially higher than in other venues.
And then finally, Professor, as you go back and forth between Minneapolis and Milwaukee, are you seeing a difference in the ads in your social feeds in terms of volume?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing when I'm in Milwaukee with my family, the volume of ads one sees in comparison to Minnesota. Remember, Minnesota, not a very competitive state politically.
Mm-hmm.
Even down ballot, there's only one House race in the state that's even considered marginally competitive. Both states have U.S. Senate races, but the Senate race in Minnesota is not considered even remotely competitive. And even with that, you still see a lot of ads, but it's nothing compared to what you see in Wisconsin. And that's been true for 15 or 20 years at this point.
All right. I appreciate your time this morning. I only got 6 robocalls last night, so I'm hoping tonight maybe that will only be 5.
Well, good luck with that. I suspect the next week will be pretty interesting in terms of the quantity of ads. And then it's kind of like Christmas music, right? It'll just end sometime next week.
Very good. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Have a great day.
Thank you.